Okay, now this is going to be a little complicated. The last few weeks I've been talking about several banks where money is missing. The Wells Fargo Bank in California, their 10 to 20 branches, possibly up to $360 million. The Nugenhan Bank in Australia with $55 million, they had up to $1 billion missing, and the possible connections of those two. And I'm going to repeat certain parts on the Nugenhan Bank in Australia that I did a while back on this program because there are new listeners, and for those of you that already know the material, you can bear with me because once in a while I think we have to backtrack and give more background on what Nugenhan Bank is than just to give the name, because when I did the program at the time, it wasn't as important to make certain connections, it was to me, as it is now with the Wells Fargo situation taking place. Now, keep in mind that June 17th, 1972, Watergate arrest took place. June the 18th, the story of entry into the Democratic headquarters. And at that time, very few names were familiar. There were five men arrested in the Democratic headquarters, and there were two, G. Gordon Liddy and E. Howard Hunt, out in the hall with walkie-talkies. And except for those seven names, very few people in America recognized or knew the names that were going to be in the headlines or in the books, the hundreds of books that came out later, at least 100, on Watergate. And as of March the 20th, it's almost the anniversary of that day, in 1973, James McCord gave his letter to Judge John Sirica about the FBI, the CIA, the White House all covering up and lying about Watergate. So that it was just not too many years ago, it seems like overnight when you get to be my age, from 1973 to 81, in March, that story broke. And so for those of you that had been listening to me, I'd been on KLRB from the summer, from May of 71 to 72. So through the 9 months of the time that they were arrested until McCord started talking, I was analyzing it on the air each week, and it was difficult for people to understand. They didn't know what I was saying because hardly any of the newspapers covered any of the stories. And I was talking about people that they didn't even read about until McCord handed Judge Sirica the note 9 months later, or months later, in March it was. So that names earlier like Wallace Bennett and Richard Benveniste or Walter William Bittman or Stephen Bull or Alex Butterfield or Judge Matthew Byrne and Richard Kleindienst and John Dean and G. Gordon Liddy and Mullen Associates or Frank Sturgis or Frank Fiorini, his name was also Donald Segretti, Virgilio Gonzalez, Eugenio Martinez, Bernard Barger, Douglas Caddy. These names didn't mean anything except to the people that I was talking about each week. Now we have a story which is just breaking in the news, just barely breaking. And I predict that if you listen to these shows every week and begin to keep your ears open, you won't remember the names, but they will surface over and over again. You're going to hear names like Frank Nugent, Michael Hand, Christopher Boyce, John Paisley, Yuri Nosenko, Gene Kawakami, Harold Smith, Frank Turple, Ed Wilson, George Corcola, Gene Harris, Mark David Chapman, Jim Jones, Charter Oil, and Gerald Ford, Irv Davidson, Colston Westbrook, William Colby, The Falcon and the Snowman, William and Michael Camillus, Muhammad Ali, and Mr. Burnham down in Guyana, or John Hart, Marion Hart, Terrence John Clark, Christopher Johnson, Walt McDonald. Now, some of these you know, like Gerald Ford and Muhammad Ali or Mark David Chapman, but there's new names that you're going to pick up if the story keeps unfolding or breaking the way I think it should. I have files that I've set up with 10 interlocking connections, and they can be complicated to you if I jump back and forth all the time. The Wells Fargo story, which is now into four branches of Wells Fargo, it started as one lone man manipulating computers, and this week it was finally exposed that he was actually in Australia when this was taking place, and that he may, in fact, be totally innocent and that it had to be bigger. This story is changing now right in front of our eyes if you follow the program every week. The Nugenhan Bank, I have files on Wells Fargo, the Nugenhan, Grassman and the Secret Service and Navy weapons being stolen in the Mojave Desert for counterintelligence, the Lennon murder, the Jonestown affair, the Harristown Hour, the John Paisley murder, the Thompson Abbott Hennessy connection that I did at length last week, Lufthansa, a robbery at Kennedy Airport a couple of years ago. Now, I'm not going to jump around each week, but I thought I would go a little bit to the Nugent hand in more detail because some of you may have missed it. And there have really been only four stories on the Nugent hand, and I think that's the starting place to backtrack because the story is going to be so big. I think that I should go back again and do a little bit more with you as a framework, and then each week take a half hour on those other interlocking areas, keep an update on the news for 1 half hour, and then another half hour update this story. Now, so far, I only have four articles on the Nugent hand bank. One, August the 31st in the London Times, the bank, the CIA, heroin and murder. Another from the Globe, November the 4th, slang links the CIA to a drug ring. Another in Maxine Cheshire in the Washington Post, missing millions, mystery death, tie to Carter folks, the murdered bankers, White House connections. And then finally, the Joe Volt story I did on this program, bank failure stuns ex-CIA and military men. Now, the Nugent hand bank, the London Times story, goes into a warrant out for the arrest of a Terrence Clark. He's wanted for murder for killing a Mr. and Mrs. Wilson who were involved with the bank failure. They were killed in Victoria, Australia, 2 months after their bodies were found 2 months after they were dead. There are other deaths, at least 12 deaths related to this story, according to the London Times. One, a Christopher Johnson in Great Britain, where his hands were cut off and he was in the bottom of a quarry, and four other countries that they're looking for deaths linked to this bank, the Nugent hand bank. It was a bank that was for heroin trade. It was for the CIA. It was set up by the CIA. And John Paisley, a man who was fished out of Chesapeake Bay in Maryland in September 1978, was murdered, and he was murdered 1 week after his CIA officer, John Hart, testified before the House Select Committee on Assassinations. And the London Times said the link of Paisley to Walt McDonald from the international, he was an international consultant to the CIA for 25 years, evidently the money for CIA activities and counterintelligence came from Nugent hand, and John Paisley's wife, Marianne, was one of the financiers or bankers for CIA money. And so the London Times ran a story on various murders, including a picture of John Paisley, which was very courageous of them, and an item about their branches in Hong Kong and an admiral, Admiral Earl Yates, the bank's first president, and their offices in Hawaii, and the various people in Taiwan and their connections to Air America and the drug market and their Manila consultants and so forth. So the London Times had connections of the CIA, of murders, of another peer disappearing, a British peer, and it covered pretty much of the globe and a lot of deaths that took place in conjunction with this bank folding up in 1979. And Maxine Cheshire wrote some more about Admiral Yates in her article, and she said that this involved a fundraising also when Jimmy Carter was in office. Now, I believe Carter covered up Jonestown because I believe money from Nugent hand went in 1973 to London and Germany and down to Jonestown. And John Golden, a roommate friend of Hamilton Jordan, took a Nugent, was the go-between between Nugent hand, and took Mr. Nugent, Frank Nugent, to see Jimmy Carter. And right after that, he was murdered, and he had been to see Carter in the White House. But I'm sure it had to do with more with the CIA in general than Jimmy Carter in particular. Also, they wanted to set up headquarters in Panama with Torrijos, which is where Hamilton Jordan took the Shah of Iran, and Jim Jones had banks in Panama. And I'm sure that the funding of the Nugent hand office in Panama would coincide with the money that Jim Jones had in Panama at the time. So the Washington Post covered stories, and at the time that Yuri Nosenko's name came up before the House Select Committee on Assassinations, I was linking him to John Paisley and the CIA and operations in the Soviet Union that he had to leave as soon as Oswald came to this country because he was his CIA case officer in the Soviet Union and had to get to this country as quickly as possible and get out so that he wouldn't be linked to the assassination and they wouldn't hold him. He had to get out as a double agent, allegedly a KGB officer who actually was working for the CIA. I did many tapes back in 1979, just at this time, on John Paisley missing and his relationships to the Defense Department, to Marianne Paisley being a more than a contract employee, to John Hart and Catherine Hart, also handling funds for clandestine operations overseas, and mentioning various cities that they were involved in. And if you want to send a self-addressed stamped envelope, I'll give you the numbers or the sheets of these connections that I was making at the time of Yuri Nosenko, John Paisley, whose photograph was then in the London Times in regard to the Nugent Bank. I covered a lot of material for many weeks on the John Kennedy assassination linked to the Nugent Bank. Now, this last week, Mr. Bush was, according to the Washington Post, was keeping a low profile. An article, low profile, Bush gaining Reagan's trust. Now, I believe that these banking scandals could get Ronald Reagan out of office if they can't put a plug in the stories, if they all come gushing out. And I think the low profile of Bush as director of the CIA is totally necessary because only the former director of the CIA could actually put the lid on what is happening, and it may be too much for President Ronald Reagan to take. And I notice that Mr. Bush is just staying totally out of the picture, but I bet he's ready to pounce in at any time, just as Agnew was out within a few months. I could see Ronald Reagan being forced out. A New Solidarity has an article, is the FBI pushing the Reagan-gate scandals? And it refers to, in quotes, such sewer pipe information such as Mother Jones and the Zodiac News. They're totally wrong. The FBI isn't pushing the Reagan-gate scandal. The scandals are coming out because there were crimes committed. There was money taken from our tax-paying money, as I said before, going into the Nugent Bank that was put into heroin traffic, that was put into counterintelligence, tied in to major banks, one bank that could be on the brink of collapse. And people have enough problems just making a go of what they have today, much less having their savings in banks that could collapse because the CIA has funneled the money out of those banks for counterintelligence operations. There was one article, Knight News Service this week, the FBI probes exiles tied to slayings. And this has several wealthy Salvadorian exiles living in Miami, and they're checking their record. They have no arrests so far, but they're checking. They're sending weapons to the rightist forces in El Salvador, and a military intelligence officer that says Ronald Reagan favors a military coup in his country and that weapons are going in there. And I said last week that Hennessy, Abbott, Thomason, story in San Francisco and Canada has to do with sending weapons to El Salvador. And also, these far right wing groups are taking this money and sending it down through the narcotics traffic and the CIA to El Salvador. And when the FBI began to investigate the Nugent Bank in Australia, because it was not an Australian bank, it's an American bank with espionage money diverted and all the papers missing on the banking, they're going to tie into the Miami far-right wing Salvador group, who, and Ronald Reagan is giving them the impression he's favoring a military junta. Now, it may be that they'll have to force the junta to stop the information of the flow of weapons linked to these bank connections. That's a possibility, but as they get into the story, as I say, of the murder of Valerie MacDonald, and the murders in the Bay Area, and that Phyllis Thompson, and the Canadian government having John Abbott, and all of those papers there, they're going to find the far right wing funding El Salvador, and they're going to have to step in some way, because this net is going to bring in these people who are illegally funding the far right wing, but at the same time, they're using what are so-called legal methods. They're using establishment banks such as Wells Fargo or CIA banks to do it when they're not supposed to be doing it. Last week, I talked on the program about the Wells Fargo case, about Jeff Gerth having a front page story in the New York Times saying embezzling case at the Wells Fargo is a mistake of the computer of one man. And I called Jeff and said, hey, you know better than that. And the LA Times said it's a simple plan. This is Wells Fargo, victim of a simple plan. That was the front page of the New York of the LA Times and New York Times last week. Well, we're together, and it's 1 week later, and these are the headlines coming out of Los Angeles. And it's not over the Associated Press or United Press that East Coast isn't getting the story. They get the story on the wire services if it's one man. When it's not one man, it's harder to get it back there around the country. I talked to Sherman Skolnick in Chicago today. He isn't getting any Wells Fargo stories at all. If it isn't one man, they're not getting it in Chicago at all. He didn't even get the story about the computers being tied up and tying up $1 trillion for 3 days, and he lives in Chicago and keeps on top of the news. The LA Times had a story this week that later did go over some of the wire service. It said Wells Fargo may err in the story of scandal. Ex-official, former Wells Fargo bank manager L. Ben Lewis may have had an accomplice. They may have found a new way past security, or he may be innocent. I called the writer, Robert Welkos, in Los Angeles, and the article goes on that Muhammad Ali was in Australia with Lewis at the time that the manipulations were going on at the bank, so they couldn't have even happened. And so was Gene Kawakami from the Wilshire branch. And I mentioned that Muhammad Ali was also in Guyana with Jim Jones before he went down to Australia. These people were down in Australia and Hong Kong. They're linked to international narcotic traffic, the headquarters in Vegas. And Caesar's Palace has been mentioned in one of the articles I had, not all of them. So the what they call an embezzlement in the bank, Harold Smith said embezzlement is an inside job. They are now admitting that the story isn't like the head of Wells Fargo said it was. Another article in a newspaper without a byline said Wells Fargo embezzlement may have been a conspiracy. You see, a conspiracy is two or more people doing an illegal act, so they're clarifying it. And another LA Times story in our Monterey Herald this morning, plane trip cast doubt on bank's fraud story. And it tells about investigating the passports and the trip arrangements of Harold Smith and Mr. Kawakami, Muhammad Ali, and the entourage, and the time when this money, finagling of whether it's $21 million or whether it's $100 million, which another article said, and good authority says $360 million, they're now saying the very fact that all these people were in Australia at the time the shenanigans took place means that the president of the Bank of Wells Fargo and the vice president, Wells Fargo chairman Richard Cooley, said last week that Lewis was in charge of the operations and had to be at his desk every 1 in 5 working days, and he was away for 3 weeks. So the Wells Fargo officials have had press conferences, and their senior vice president, George Caulfield, has been put against the line that they absolutely lied on the story. Although, as I say, last week the New York Times said fraud is laid to a Wells Fargo official in Beverly Hills. And 1 week later, a official wasn't even there. He was out of the country for 3 weeks. Now, Mr. Lewis is working with the FBI, and Mr. Harold Smith is in seclusion. Muhammad Ali says he's watched night and day by the CIA. And so the bank president and the officials have lied to everyone in this state that has money in that bank. And then another New York Times article this week, again, not on the wire service, fourth branch involved in Wells Fargo probe. The Marina Del Rey office employment president said that they're suspected of embezzlement, that there may be 4 to the number of branches involved. Every week this has gone on. Every week, first it was Beverly Hills, and then it was Santa Monica or the Palisades, and then it was Hollywood. The Wilshire District, there's actually 5, and they're admitting 4, so it doesn't look so bad. And now they say there may be $6.5 million in bank funds that went down the drain from Marina Del Rey, and there's also $3.5 million that I have to go into in detail with you later that involved the Hollywood, Tennessee connections. Now, another possible connection to this story has to do with that murder I mentioned about 4 weeks ago in Santa Barbara, right outside of Regan Country, and the art galleries in this fellow in Lompoc, the area of the Lompoc, going with a woman, a court reporter in Seattle, where three people were gunned down, a sculptor who has a place in South Africa, smuggled South African diamond mines, and links to Arizona, Seattle, wife in London. And there's a lot of mystery. This man who had these art galleries had a school for hypnotists, and there's a lot of question about that murder that I'm going to later tie in, not tonight, but later. But it was a very important meeting that he was going to have with somebody, and three people were gunned down and killed. And this investigation will get back to the killing of the sculptor and the other people. Now, he kept an art gallery in Lompoc, and there was an escape from Lompoc prison. That's the funny farm where the people get off easy. And that was Christopher Boyce, the subject of the paper book, The Falcon and the Snowman. He was allegedly a KGB spy, and I believe that he worked with John Faisley and Yuri Nosenko. And he left Lompoc, which is a very convenient safe house for people walking away from the prison, if there's art galleries there, to change their clothes and have a place to change. Now, the FBI had a report this week. Escaped spy is reported smuggling weapons to El Salvador. He's allegedly living down at Redondo Beach area. He worked at Redondo Beach Space, and he's working in the area where Mr. Fisher, working with Mr. Kawakama from Wells Fargo Bank, lives at the Palos Verdes Estates. Now, this gentleman was let out of Lompoc, and I believe that there are important connections between this particular character. And when I talked to Sherman Skolnick in Chicago, the investigator who follows all these threads, he said there was a link of this Christopher Boyce and Lee, allegedly KGB agents, that they were double agents or triple agents working for the CIA, and that at a trial of William Peter Campilis, also charged with spying, the name came up about John Paisley and about the California spies, and they wanted to bring Paisley's name into the trial, and the CIA wouldn't let them. The court went into secret session, and there was only one newspaper article linking John Paisley, who's linked to the Nuganan Bank, Yuri Nosenko, and that other alleged spy, Campiles. So this week, this Boyce is out loose. He's at the Palos Verdes Estates. He's linked to weapons to El Salvador. He is linked to Paisley and the Nuganan connections. And I think that his activities, according to the FBI, he's down in Torrance, Manhattan Beach, Palos Verdes, and so forth. If he were actually a spy with the Soviet Union and not a double agent, they wouldn't allow him to be doing the cocaine traffic and free on the streets down at the Palos Verdes Estates. They're investigating him and the drug agencies and his connections to Texas and so forth. He's linked to a large narcotic operation that has a base in the Australian Nuganan Bank, and I believe that they let him out to cover certain bases, and it would be interesting to know if when he leaves Lompoc, if he went to that art gallery that was a safe house, because the South African, London, Seattle connections of that art gallery, the triple murder, I've been suspect of it for a long time, but certain cities on the map are overlapping. They're not conclusive, but they're overlapping, and there's just too many to say they're coincidences, and there's too many loose ends in the news right now. Now, one thing Harold Smith said was that the Wells Fargo scandal involves the Japanese mafia, and the Nuganan Bank articles have pictures of William Colby of the CIA. Well, at the time that the subject came out about Billy Carter being a lobbyist, there were articles in the Associated Press, United Press, that William Colby was a lobbyist after he was the director for Central Intelligence. He was the lobbyist in Tokyo called the Political Public Relations Center in Tokyo, and he was living in Tokyo all the time that this alleged Japanese mafia was working with CIA money from both the Nuganan Bank, and Harold Smith says it's linked to the Japanese mafia. The L.A. Times' Robert Jackson had a story about William Colby, former CIA director William Colby, being a lobbyist when he left the CIA and working in Tokyo with Japanese firms as a foreign lobbyist. And also among the list of lobbyists is Joseph Blatchford. He was director of the Peace Corps in El Salvador, and then he was part of the CIA operation that met 17 of the basketball team that came out of Georgetown that were part of the assassination goon squad at Jonestown. Blatchford of the CIA became the attorney for those people. They've never been investigated or charged with murder, but he's another lobbyist, both for El Salvador. He worked for the government of El Salvador. How convenient. Worked with the Jonestown people and the CIA. And this use of the CIA to recycle, like I say every week, the money from these various gun-running operations, cocaine, CIA banks, and funding institutions such as Jonestown, I believe, have to be folding out in the next weeks or months to come. If the right reporters get on this and do the maps and the charting that I've been doing and have time to send out to them, I think you'll see the connections. Remember, after Jonestown fell down and was not occupied again, Billy Graham's son was to bring Laotian CIA people over to Guyana. And what a perfect place to train assassins for Southeast Asia or all of Asia if the Japanese mafia needed assassins, just as Jonestown was a center for training assassination teams from around the world of English-speaking American people that could wipe out and train them for shooting and so forth. Laotians brought in by Billy Graham's son could be trained in quietly in Jonestown. They don't speak any Spanish. They don't speak any English. There's no way to get out of the place. They could be brought over, trained, brainwashed, and then sent out all over Asia as part of the Japanese mafia to wipe out the people that know anything. In the book, The Suicide Cult by Kilduff, there were dates of Jonestown being occupied in late 1973. The temple's money emerged. They had a newfound colony. Dan Phillips from Great Britain went with Jim Jones and the top leaders with a large sum of money. They had a draft for each person of $5,000 plus $600,000 from Barclays of Canada. A lot of this came from London and Germany. And it's in 1973 that the Nguyen Bank got filled with money and opened up branches in these different places and was active in the CIA activity with William Colby and the various financiers of the CIA. So next week, I'm going to do some more on the Wells Fargo and the Nguyen if the news stories break. If not, I have enough to update you on stories about Wells Fargo connections and many murders in the Bay Area and arrests in the last week connected to this case. I have about five important ones to discuss with you, and we'll get to those next week. This is complicated, and you'll have to follow it each week. And if you miss it, get a cassette or a printed sheet, because it's a story like Watergate or the Kennedy assassination that's going to keep unfolding. And if you follow it each week with me, you'll see it more clearly in the news. And in the meantime, you keep reading those papers and keep up on these articles, and I'll be back with you next week. This is Mae Brussel in Carmel, California.
This has been World Watchers International with noted conspiracy investigator Mae Brussel. This program originates from Carmel, California.